Accessing library computer data.
And to make sure history never forgets the name Enterprise.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Penske Podcast. If you haven't tuned in before, this is a podcast where we are running through all 178 episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation, giving our thoughts and feelings about each and every one. Right now we're up to episode 11 of season 7. It's called Parallels. It was directed by Robert Wiener, written by Brennan Braga, and it aired back on November 29th, 1993. In this episode, Lieutenant Worf returns from a Bat'leth tournament and slowly discovers that he is being moved across parallel universes. Mark is here to join us to talk about this one. Mark's never been on the show before, but he's got a lot of opinions about Parallels. So right after this, me and Mark are going to go deep on Parallels.
Nice. The Battle of Horos, right? Worf, are you all right?
Yes. Yes, I think Data's painting is making me dizzy.
Some cake.
Thank you, Doctor.
I thought the cake was chocolate.
Don't I wish. This is from Alexander. He gave it to me just before he left to visit your parents. Thank you.
What is it, Worf?
It's a cast of Alexander's forehead, the ridges of a warrior.
He wished he could have been here when you got back from shore leave. You should have seen him, Worf. He stayed up all night talking about how proud he was of his father.
Thank you for watching him while I was away.
Oh, it was my pleasure.
Mark, welcome to season 7 of TNG. I haven't had you on the podcast before. I don't really know why, because you... I'll explain that later, but how are you anyway?
Well, you know, it's sort of like the hair club for men. I'm not only a participant in the podcast, but I'm also a listener. I don't know if Clay or anyone else actually listens. They may just come in, record their bits and leave, but
Clay only listens to the ones he's involved in, but yeah, everyone else, I'm not sure.
I'm an avid fan of the work that you've put together on the Penske podcast.
So. First time listener.
Glad to be here. Probably last time listener, because we are really at the end of season 7 right now. So
you'll have to follow along with DS9 when we get to it. Yeah, but so thank you for your patronage. Mark's one of the patrons on the Patreon.com, which I'll hit in the end of this episode. But I've never had you here before, although that's weird because you were one of the people who, when we had a friend who burned all the DVDs, you were one of the person who took the 1/3 of the DVDs, 6 years into that project of burning Netflix DVDs to get all the TNG episodes, which then appeared on Netflix immediately, rendering it all moot. But anyway, I think that it's interesting to pull you in at season 7 because this isn't an appropriately thematic episode, but season 7 has been bringing people we've never heard of into the fold at the very end of the series run with a lot of family members and stuff. But we're going to talk about Parallels, which doesn't really have anything to do with that. So let's start it off by when I texted with you to ask if you wanted to come on and do the show, and I told you what episode you were doing. I don't think you remembered it, and you said, oh, I'm of a mixed mind here. You're giving me a Brandon Braga episode, but it's also a Worf episode. So do you want to explain what you meant?
So, I know over having listened to the podcast for the past 6 seasons and change, you're sort of split on the Brandon Braga concepts. You like the high concept, but sometimes you feel that they're a little bit hit or miss. I am all in for the weird, warped, mind-fucky Star Trek episodes. And, you know, some that you didn't like the Crusher episode, Remember Me, where everyone's disappearing, among my favorite episodes. So I was like, oh, awesome, Brandon Braga, I'm on board. Then I'm like, Worf, not my favorite character. And then I start watching it, and they're like, Alexander's not in this episode. I'm like, plus. So it was. I was really going through the roller coaster of emotions as I was watching the episode and, you know, reading about it. So, overall, it ended up being a fun experience. And Brandon Braga won out for me here.
Why, I guess before we get into the episode, why anti-Worf? Because going into the podcast, I would probably agree with you. I've been like, I don't want to watch a Worf episode.
Yeah, so for me, and it actually probably is not anti-Worf, more anti-Klingon. I know that sounds like I'm racist, but I don't mean it that
way.
This
is the era of Trump, baby. Yeah, you can say whatever you want about anybody.
Yeah, but I mean, my point is that a lot of the episodes, and some that I think you've liked, really delve into the Klingon political structure and sort of, you know, that whole backdrop about what's going on in the Klingon homeworld and, you know, how the politics of that are working. And I think I never really got into that. So maybe that was my initial negative reaction, more so than the individual character Worf himself.
I think I agree, because going into before this rewatch, I would have thought that I don't really like the Klingon stuff. And I think the problem is that the Klingon stuff is not great, but a lot of it's very solid. And he definitely has the most, like, consistent through line out of any character. Like, his story arc across all seven seasons makes sense, where a lot of other people, they don't really have that development that goes on. And I think that, well, the Klingon stuff is not, like, gripping television at points. It's very good at some parts, and otherwise it just kind of fades into the background. But I do have a new appreciation for the Worf stuff in this one, in this rewatch, which I didn't have before. Although I do understand why, if you haven't been watching it regularly, you can feel that way about the character.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's sort of, and this came up on one of the podcasts recently, something can be technically proficiently done well, but you don't always enjoy it.
Right.
So I can respect the fact that they were able to make a very well-developed character arc for Worf and really flesh out his backstory and his motivations, but still be sitting there and just not enjoying myself watching an episode. And that's what most of the Klingon episodes are for me.
Yeah, I think that's fair. So this is not a Klingon episode, but it is a Brandon Braga episode, and you seem to be hinting that you liked it. So what's your general thoughts and feelings about parallels?
So, I mean, my general thoughts and feelings were, you know, there's a lot of fan service in this episode, you know, in terms of bringing back old costumes. I'm sure we'll talk a little bit about Wesley and his return to form.
Yeah, I do want to. Good. I'm glad you. Yeah. Don't let me forget about it.
Yeah. And I think, you know, just really just kind of them. You remember, and I know I was the bigger comic book fan growing up, for the backdrop, Wes and I are childhood friends, which is why it's surprising that, you know, I've avoided the podcast for this long.
He's the only person I know in real life who's actually watched Star Trek. Well, Clay, I guess, exists, but yeah.
Yeah, but I was a bigger comic book fan, but are you familiar with the Marvel Comics line, What If?
Yeah.
Where they would be like, what if Gwen Stacy didn't die, you know, at the hands of Green Goblin?
Yeah.
I feel like this episode was like Star Trek TNG, What If? What if Picard had died, you know, on the attack on the board? What if Wesley never went off to Starfleet? You know, like, it just really took a chance to examine how things might have played out. And not in, like, a fully fleshed out storyline type of way. Just kind of giving us glimpses at the, you know, that shot with the 40 different Enterprises at the end of, you know, how things could have played out in different patterns.
That's interesting. I don't disagree with that either. Although, I guess going through, like, the episode feels, they are kind of what-ifs, but they also at the same time feel to me like they never really happened, which is just kind of the parallel universe kind of a thing. They all feel very fake to me, and I think it's what you're saying, that you don't spend a lot of time with each universe, so you don't really have a grasp on what's going on.
Well, I mean, just to, and sorry to cut you off, but one of my thoughts was that this episode moved really quickly.
It did.
Do you think that this would have been better as a two-parter for them to maybe flesh out the backstory and flesh out, you know, Worf's journey between the different, you know, parallel universes a little bit better? It seemed like they were like, oh, he's in the room and now someone's outfit just changed. Would it have been better if that transition from parallel universe to parallel universe was done slower?
No, I don't think it. I 2 points there. Good thing to bring up, though. I don't think it's a two-parter. I also don't think it could be a movie. The movie I'll explain first, because only one character being involved in it does not make a good movie. So I'm sort of arguing against the idea that it could have been a bigger episode or movie. In terms of two-parters, I think it's one of those things where once you get what's going on, you quickly need to wrap up what's going on with it. It's not something you want to spend, because once he figures out that he's jumping between universes, he doesn't do it all that often. He kind of stays in that last universe for a very long time because Geordi dies. So that basically causes...
What if Geordi died?
What if Geordi died? I will say, going in, I do like this episode, and every time I watch it, I always forget that Geordi is the reason for the switching. to go on, which I think is really clever and kind of neat. And I'm never watching it going like, oh yeah, Geordi's going to do it. I always, when it happens, I'm like, oh right, Geordi, his visor, he was the only one there.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, a lot of the science, well, not real science, fake science, was just completely over my head. I was just sort of strapped in and along for the ride on this one.
I felt the science in this one, if you were probably, you know, I'm not going to judge the episode based on the hardness of its science, but it certainly felt like if anyone dealt in, like, quantum math or anything, they'd be like, what the fuck are these people talking about? Like, every Data explanation of what was going on felt to me like we need to write the way out of this right now. So they're like, well, what if we create a static warp bubble? He's like, everything will go back to normal and nothing will happen. You might show up a day late or whatever. But
this was a classic example, you know, the Picard song or the USS Make Shit Up. Mm-hmm. Like, classic example of that. We're just going to make up some crazy science and just kind of explain our way out of the crazy situation that we're in.
So let's, I'll break down quickly if people haven't seen the episode in a while and you don't know. It's the one where Worf comes back from a Bat'leth tournament where he has maimed several of the competitors. And
excellent Worf line right there. I was laughing, like rolling on the floor. It was like several competitors were maimed. That might be a candidate for your opening or closing clip right there.
It's a good Worf episode. It's a good Dorne episode. But anyway, Worf comes back and he starts realizing that he is in... he starts noticing subtle changes that he doesn't really understand what's going on. Like, he'll be eating something, and when he looks down, it's a different kind of food. People who say that they aren't going to be there are suddenly there. And it turns out he's jumping through parallel universes because every action has an infinite number of outcomes. And apparently, according to Star Trek's interpretation, all of these outcomes are actually happening. And so all of these universes are possible, and Worf is shifting between them, and he needs to get back to his home Enterprise. He eventually summons a whole bunch of Enterprises, and they return Worf to the normal Enterprise, and life goes back to normal. So I guess let's start with the script here. It's a Braga episode, right? Mm-hmm. High concept, somewhat similar to Cause and Effect, kind of. Like, Braga likes doing these kind of like time shift, parallel universe type things, which is not exactly similar to Cause and Effect, but very similar.
Yeah.
What'd you think of the general idea here? And is Worf the right character for this plot?
Well, a couple things. First off, I did some minor amount of research in preparation to do this. Not only watching the episode, I read on Wikipedia, and I was quickly like, so who is this Brandon Braga guy? He was like 27 when he wrote this,
yep.
Which makes me feel like I'm a failure at life, because he's writing like TNG episodes at like 25.
All the writers on TNG were like 20, young 20 males, so it's kind of... It's surprising to me. It's kind of like how when I watch professional sports, I can never believe that everybody on the court is younger than me.
Oh, they are. We're old now, my friends.
But when I see the interview, I'm like, oh, he's much older. I must be subservient to this guy. But I'm like 10 years older than him.
Yeah, anyway. I know. It's a natural part of aging. But, you know, one of the things looking into that was that, you know, Brandon Braga, and you may have seen this as well, originally envisioned this as possibly Picard shifting through the alternate realities. And they didn't do it because they felt like his relationships wouldn't change significantly enough in parallel universes to make it viable.
I also think that if it was Picard, it can't be someone who's in command. You know what I mean? Because he has too much power to sort of change what's going on. You kind of need Worf, who's just the lieutenant, who's like the lowest ranking of the main cast. Yeah.
I mean, you didn't really want this to be the one episode where they flesh out Troy's character that you've been waiting for since like season one.
But they didn't really do it. We'll get into that. Let's stick to the Braga-ness of it. Did you enjoy? So going off of what you thought, did you agree that it should have been Picard or?
I think I liked Worf as a character. And another thing we're gonna get to later is obviously the Worf Troy thing, but. You know, I think it allowed him to have different relationships with different characters. They like changed his rank. They changed his relationships with some of the different characters across the different timelines. So he was a reasonable person on the cast to do this with. I mean, could they have done it with, you know, Geordi, for example? Maybe. Yeah. I know there are several, three or four other kind of underused characters on the show that they probably could have done it the same way they did it with Worf.
Yeah, I think Data is the only one you can't ever do it with.
It just wouldn't make sense because he wouldn't be coming at it with the human element.
Right. He would immediately... He wouldn't have the, am I going crazy?
He would be too analytical about it.
Right, yeah. I agree with that. And I think Worf is appropriate for this. I'd have a hard time thinking of any of the others. Maybe Riker. This might have been... Although Riker's had so many of the am I losing my mind episodes that at this point it feels like appropriate to give it to Worf.
And that was one of the other points that, you know, great research tool Wikipedia said about this is that, you know, they didn't want it to be similar to Frame of Mind. They didn't want Worf to immediately think that he was going crazy because they'd fairly recently done a I'm going crazy episode.
Yeah.
Even though someone in that situation, that would probably be your first emotional response.
Yeah.
You know, am I going crazy? What is going on here?
Well, I think it's a good script because it builds on the weirdness of the situation in believable ways. Like it starts with, and it's one of those things when you watch it again, you know that all this stuff is kind of like cause and effect. You know that this is going to happen as you're watching it. So like the first thing he notices is the cake. The cake's a different color. And it's like such a small detail. If you were watching the episode for the first time, you might not know what he's talking about. You know, because like when I watch it, I know I'm like, oh, the cake is going to change color. But if you're watching it as just a first time viewer, you're like, is he losing his, is he like not paying attention? What's going on? And then it builds into, you know, people appearing at a party when you're told that they're not going to be there, which is kind of understandable. You'd be like, maybe that happened. And then people shifting places in a room and things like that. And then it builds into just craziness where he's on like a different Enterprise and they're at war with the Cardassians, and then eventually, you know, the Borg have beaten the Federation and everything like that. For the script in general, did you have any problems while you were going through the episode? Was there any point where you're like, this sucks? Like, why is this section happening?
Well, like I said, I think it's a great, you know, turn your mind off, fan service-y type of episode where they had a lot of callbacks to some of the other plot lines and storylines in the episode.
Great. That was like, the smartest thing to do, I think.
Member berries, you know, like they played off nostalgia there pretty heavily. And like I said, I wasn't really thinking about this. I was drinking while watching the episode. So, you know, take that with a grain of salt that maybe if I was being really diligent and analytical, that maybe stuff would have stood out to me more than it did.
The podcast listeners expect nothing less.
Yeah. No,
I'm totally sober.
If we don't have a beer in our hand, then why are we even doing this? But yeah, I mean, it was definitely just one of those episodes. It's just like strap in and just kind of see where it goes and see what crazy things are going to happen in all these alternate universes. I mean, I will say maybe I was colored a little bit by the fact that you said, okay, we're going to watch Parallels. And I'm like, oh, which one's Parallels? As you mentioned, I'd watched the entire series before. This was not an episode that I specifically remembered.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And in my defense, it's been like 10 years since I watched through them like front to back.
Yeah.
And other than that, I've just kind of picked up random episodes here or there. But
I think this is probably regarded as one of the best episodes in season 7.
Yeah.
Which is...
Is that saying much, though?
I don't know if it is. It's like... But let's talk about why I think it's well regarded like that. Because it's like Clay is always complaining about... There's a lot of character stuff in this episode.
Yeah.
Which is good. Which is what they should be doing. They are changing stuff, which we're going to talk about shortly in this episode. They change relationships kind of drastically.
Yeah.
And they are going a little bit off the wall. Like, it's not a typical TNG episode. It makes sense fitting into the TNG universe, but this is not the typical, we meet an alien delegation, we go to the planet, Picard gets beamed down somewhere, and bullshit happens, which has been a lot of season 7. This one is a strong concept, change of stuff, has good character moments. It's a good episode for Michael Dorn. He gets some solid comedy out of this one.
Oh my god. At least 3 or 4 times. The priceless moments for me were, as I mentioned, several contestants were maimed.
Yep.
And then we made it.
Data does not know the exact, he can research it though.
Yeah, he can research it. and that the great moment where we first get introduced to the fact that Troy has been married to Worf, and he peers around the corner creepily when she's on the bed. And I just couldn't help but think of the scene from Fast Times at Ridgemont High when Phoebe Cates is getting out of the pool and they're playing the Cars song.
Yeah.
And I'm like, someone needs to meme that, or, you know, come up with a video of that cut to that, specific song. But yeah, there were lots of excellent Worf comedy moments, and I think that's part of the reason why I enjoyed it. It's a, you know, fun episode to watch.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think Doran does a really good job with the comedy moments here. There's a lot of good inner character moments that are going on. A lot of it feels like it should in season 7, and it's also giving us an interesting story in the background, which I appreciate.
And is there, I want to say there's a video that you sent me once where Worf is continually being like put down and told that he's wrong.
Yeah, Worf being told he's wrong.
Yeah, and this has got to be an episode that contributes to that heavily, because he's just screwing up left and right, and they're like, no, Worf, why didn't you put up the shields? Geordi's dead.
I did love all the glares that Riker gives Worf, because when the lieutenant's like, it's me, Captain. Commander LaForge is dead. He's been plasma burned pretty bad. And Riker's just glaring at him. It's,
Yeah, you know, a bomb won't fix a plasma burn. You need to really, really work on those.
Yeah, it's serious shit.
Yeah.
So I guess we should talk about a couple of the things that stuck out. So let's talk about the Troy and Worf thing. So this is the episode that kind of kickstarts their little relationship that they're going to have for the remainder of season 7. Thoughts?
So, I mean, and I guess I didn't go back and adequately research this deep, but there were seeds planted in earlier episodes, right? Like, way back when, of Worf and Troy at some
point. They mentioned the ethics episode where he breaks his back and he asks her to take care of Alexander if he dies.
But this wasn't the first episode where they hinted at a romantic involvement between Worf and Troy, right? Were there stuff in earlier seasons about that?
This is the first that it's been like romantic as opposed to
respect and friendship.
Respectfully, I think Worf, previously it always felt to me like Worf respected the fact that she was a counselor and would be appropriate to take care of Alexander.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that, and where this is going to go, I'm sure, is, are you a Riker Troy shipper or a Worf Troy shipper?
Yeah, judging by our communication, I am Riker and Troy, and I think them getting married makes sense. You seem to be Worf and Troy.
I mean, you know, I'm not upset with the way that they went, but I like the contrast of being someone who, you know, they're opposites attract. You have Troy, who's methodical, looking at it from the perspective of kindness and human emotions, and then you have Worf, who's, you know, this brute gorilla man who, you know, is frequently going to go towards, you know, violence and honor, and that contrast, I think, plays well between them, and I think that's what they were attempting to play off of.
You know what I think my problem is? It's the same problem I had with Second Chances, which is the one where the Riker clone appears, and the original plan was to have him replace Riker, who would be killed. I feel that's okay earlier. You can't do this kind of stuff in the last season, almost, because we've gone so far with the status quo. At a certain point, it feels, as much as we've been clamoring for like change, I feel it should have been done earlier if they were going to do it at all. Like, there's no reason to bring this kind of relationship into this at this point. They don't really go anywhere with it either. You know, it's not like this becomes a huge focus of the show going forward, but I feel it's the same with Second Chances. I would love the Second Chances idea if it had happened in like season 3 or 4. I would have been like, wow, that's what a way to shake up the show. Season 7, it feels like you're just kind of doing it for doing its sake. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I see where you're coming from. It doesn't feel completely earned. And at that point, they really need to be thinking of how can they kind of close the loop.
Yes.
It's like when a show introduces a new character when they know it's going to be their last season.
Like DS9 does.
It's like, why are you doing this? I don't want to see this new character. I want to
close,
get this,
everyone else.
Yeah, I want to close out these other character arcs and just get like a nice warm fuzzy feeling inside.
That's my problem. I want season 7 to be closing the character stories. I don't need them to be opening a new path that they want to go down. And they don't really do that. So I mean, I don't have a problem with the Worf and Troy thing. And as you're saying, it makes a lot of sense. But I think I just like the faded lover thing of Troy and Riker.
It's definitely the stronger built-up story over the course of the show. And then there's no way to argue that. And this was just kind of like a detour for some reason. I'm not really sure why. There's no other place to put this in, so I will just say that one of my favorite scenes was when Riker is captain, and then they go into kind of his office, and he's got the trombone laid up against it. Is he playing that in that small room?
annoying the people on the bridge.
Yeah, he's just like walking out onto the bridge and you know, doing a parade or something.
I liked that. So yeah, so they settle into this final universe basically because he doesn't jump after the Geordi death because he jumps once because they turn on the visor and he jumps into somewhat of a similar situation except Troy and him have children, I think, is the only difference that they notice. Oh, and he's a commander at that point. Worf is. So at that point, they kind of settle into the final thing that we coast through for the rest of the time. And we should mention now, Will Wheaton is back. I'll say right up front, I was annoyed to see him, actually. What did you think?
You know, I guess one of the other bits that Wikipedia noted there in my extensive research was that Brandon Braga was going back and forth between doing Tasha Yar, which would have made Clay happy, or going with Wesley Crusher.
Yeah.
And he ultimately went with Wesley Crusher because he didn't want it to seem too similar to yesterday's Enterprise.
Yeah, which makes sense. That's a good choice.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you could have potentially brought both back. Maybe it would have seemed overstuffed. I'm not sure. I like it from the standpoint of what I was saying before, the what if Wesley was still on the bridge. They didn't really give him much to do there.
No, he had, but although he had more lines than I would have expected. He comes up with a solution.
I mean, you know, they got to justify Will Wheaton's paycheck for coming onto the set for that one, I guess.
I'm a little annoyed. I always get a little bit annoyed when the characters leave because they're like, I'm not getting right. And then they just come back in this later episode. It just kind of annoyed me for some reason. And not because I would have preferred, which he does have, he has his final sign-off episode coming, you know, which I'm fine with that. I don't think it's a great episode, but I appreciate him being in that situation.
Well, I think what it comes down to was... was his presence, did it contribute really anything to the episode, or was it just mild fan service to be like, hey, look, Wesley Crusher's here?
No,
and it was clearly the latter. Had he not been in the episode, it would not have lowered the impact of the episode at all.
Yeah.
So, you know, from a pure fan service standpoint, it was kind of cool to just see one of the old characters in an alternate universe still hanging out. But he had a few lines, but they were mostly like, we're raising Shields, Captain. It wasn't anything groundbreaking that further developed Wesley Crusher's character.
He wasn't Worf's husband in this future.
Yeah, I mean, that would have been a real breakthrough right there. I don't want to go through the dynamics of what that pairing would probably do, but...
I think that's it. And then it wraps up with, we get a couple of glimpses into what if the Borg had won the battle at Wolf 359, and what if, he finds the right thing. One thing I noticed on this rewatch was apparently Worf is killing the Worf that he like inhabits. You know what I mean? Because Deanna Troi is like, my Worf is never going to come back. You know what I mean?
Well, I didn't get that either. So when Worf writes the universes, does that doesn't mean all the other universes are gone, right? Is that what they're saying?
I think they go back to normal. I was a little bit confused because she has a line where she's like, when you leave, my Worf is gone forever. So it's like, oh, is his switching sort of like killing the other Worfs? And then when he talks to the Enterprise that he belongs to, he's in the background. Which didn't make any sense to me. Shouldn't that Worf be missing?
Yeah, I think, you know, maybe that was one of the 30 Worfs that were in the shuttlecraft at the end that were just, you know, having like a Worf party. this is classic, like, just don't think about it too hard. Like, my entirety of watching, like, The Force Awakens is like, just don't think about it. Just strap in for the ride.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I would have had that for the prequels, but maybe not.
Well, that too. You know, I was just, you know, just to take a shot at Star Wars because we're on a Star Trek podcast right now.
I think it was just kind of a weird, it doesn't impact anything. I just thought it was weird that he isn't on it, and the fact that it makes it a little bit more of a tragedy if he's like erasing the Worfs that should have been there and everything like that.
I'm still not really, did they explain, and again, you know, drinking a beer, maybe I just missed this, why were all of the Enterprises pulled into the same universe all at once? Is it because that's where the shuttlecraft was?
No, Amy had asked me this too. I assume that all of the Enterprises that were there had gone back thinking the same idea, that they were like, oh, let's go back to the place of, because the universes aren't that different from each other. So some of the Enterprises that are being pulled in are the ones that go back to investigate this thing, although this doesn't make sense in terms of the Borg ship.
No, it doesn't.
But also, the I think when he said when the Bajorans attack them, it causes something that elevates the quantum singularity or whatever the fuck the thing is. So the Bajoran attacking them causes all the other Enterprises to get sucked into that universe.
Sure. That was like I said, I'm on board. Let's see where it goes. But you're right. Don't think about the science. It's not going to make any sense.
There's a lot of getting, especially towards the end, there's a lot of, oh, this happened and therefore that caused this to happen. And now there's a bunch of Enterprises, which isn't a problem. It's just, it's kind of like, oh, that doesn't seem as clean as it possibly could have been.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's it for Parallels. Hope you guys enjoyed the discussion. I think that was good. That went pretty well. And in a parallel universe, that discussion went poorly. Well, I think this one went okay.
The one thing I'll say is it's sort of your fantasy to go into a parallel universe where you're banging your coworker. Right. I think every man can relate to that concept on some level.
In every in some parallel universe, that's actually happening. You're married to your coworker.
Yes.
It's a bizarre situation. But guys, we're gonna play an audio clip. We're gonna come back and give our final thoughts and ratings. Me and Mark are gonna give our final thoughts and ratings for Parallels.
The shuttlecraft is under attack.
Bajorans again.
No, sir. It's one of the Enterprises. They're hailing us.
On screen.
We won't go back. You don't know what it's like in our universe. The Federation's gone. The Borg is everywhere. We're one of the last ships left, please. You've got to help us.
I'm sorry. There's no choice. If this works, everything will return to...
No, we won't go back!
Sir, they're firing on the shuttlecraft.
Open fire. Try to disable.
Direct hit. Their shields have collapsed. Their engine core's overloading.
What happened?
It looks like the ship had already taken heavy damage. Their warp containment field must have been weak.
Probably from fighting with the Borg.
Captain, warp is entering the fissure.
All right, Mark. So, Parallels, I'll let you go first. On a scale of 1 to 5, 1 being utter trash that you never want to watch again, 5 being a great episode, 3 being an average episode, 4 being one that you'd show a non-fan, 2 being an episode with problems, but it could have been okay. Where are you going to put this guy?
So, this is me probably taking pot shots at your rating scale, but it's an episode that I enjoyed, but I know that you usually rate the 4 or 5s ones that you are so good that you would want to show another person to sort of get them involved.
Yep.
I don't think this episode works well to someone who has never seen Star Trek before.
Yeah.
It's completely built upon knowing a lot of the past history of the characters, understanding the dynamics and relationships of the characters. You need to understand how two characters work together to then shift it and show how things are different in the parallel universes. But from a purely, I was entertained as a fan and, you know, I would go back and watch this one later. This is a solid, at least a 3, if not a 4 for me.
Yeah.
Because I enjoyed it thoroughly. Like, the Worf comedy bits, just, that's why I watch this show. You know, just the crazy comedy character beats that just kind of, you know, make your heart feel warm and fuzzy inside, you know, and then we made it. You know, it's
that was my wedding vows.
Yes.
I think I agree. I also had the same thought that it's an episode that doesn't really fit into my rating scale, because it doesn't real. It's much too meta for a new person. But I think this is a 4. I don't think it's a great episode, but I think it's a very, very solid episode that's a little bit above average and has an interesting concept and everything like that. And especially in season 7, this is probably as good as it's going to get. Until we get to All Good Things, I guess.
Coming up quickly.
It is coming up quickly. There's not many left. But yeah, I think this is a genuinely good episode in season 7. And I can't say that we've had that yet in any of the previous episodes.
Yeah, it was definitely a fun ride. You know, later on 10 years down the road when we get really meta and just listen to your podcast and then talk about those, mm-hmm. this will be one that I'll really enjoy when you do like... You know, phase 2 of the Penske podcast.
When I go back in 10 years and rewatch the episodes.
And then listen to what you had to say and then just be like, yeah, you know, I was a real dumbass there. My opinion has completely changed.
I can't remember. I think someone mentioned the idea of listening to the podcast in 10 years and then you podcast about your podcast and it just like kind of continues on.
Yeah, and then you just do it till the end of time.
That'll be tough. I don't know. We'll continue on anyway. But Mark, thank you very much for coming on.
Yeah, glad to be here, Wes. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for your patronage. Thank everybody out there for the patronage. Thank you for listening, guys. If you're on YouTube, like in the comments, appreciate it. If you're on iTunes, rating and review helps get the show out there. Rate us on any of your favorite podcasters. It really helps us out. You can go to facebook.com/thepenskypodcast. Leave a like and a comment. Build up the small community that's there. You can go to patreon.com/thepenskypodcast. If you go there for a couple dollars a month, you can get exclusive content. We talk about things that aren't really Star Trek. We talk about movies and things like that, sci-fi movies, TV episodes, stuff like that. Patreon.com/thepenskypodcast. I appreciate all the patrons who have helped out so far. Keeps the show going forward. We're going to do DS9 next because of it, and very much appreciated, Mark included. Guys, thank you very much for listening. Mark, any final words about Parallels? And give me your you probably won't be on for any of the season 7 episodes, so give me your thoughts about TNG quickly. Like, what do you think of the show in general?
Oh, I mean, I love it, but you know, it may be nostalgia fueled. This is something that I grew up watching. If you're really trying to look at it from a critical eye, which you're doing in this podcast, a lot of the episodes are not good. You know, especially the early seasons. But the character dynamics, some of the themes that they explore, you know, make the show a lot of fun. And it is, of the Star Trek franchises, the one that resonates most with me by far.
Yeah, same. Although, yeah, we'll see. I've never watched DS9. I hadn't watched TNG all the way through, but there are DS9 episodes I've never seen, so that'll be interesting.
Yeah, I never really got into DS9, so you're going to have to convert me over with your podcast.
With our talking here.
Yes.
We'll see, guys. Deep Space Nine is coming up eventually, but yeah, we've got TNG, TOS is coming, the movies. We got a lot of stuff to get through before we get to DS9. Thank you very much for listening, and I'll see you later in some alternate universe.